so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. It is very important for us to understand that when we talk about the inspiration of Scripture, we speak that the Word of God is infallible in all things. That is, even in eyes that the dog of Tobias wagged his tail, as Scripture relates, has fallen into heresy. So in all its details, the Holy Scripture is accurate, and we need to understand this because in today's Gospel, St. Luke gives us, in shorthand form, much of the history of the early church. For when he speaks of the many who sought to write these things down, he is speaking of what is known as the Apocryphal Gospels. And ultimately, these Gospels were rooted on the most ancient of heresies that was in the mystical body of Christ. It was known at the time as Gnosticism. Its present form is known as Modernism. And the Catholic Encyclopedia defines this heresy as a false doctrine of salvation by knowledge. Hence, salvation of the soul is based on a quasi-intuitive knowledge of the mysteries of the universe and of the magic formula indicative of that knowledge. They proclaim to be the ones who know. And this constitutes them as superior persons. And so, indeed, this heresy, this ancient heresy, is a form of elitism, because those who have the knowledge are said to are self-proclaimed leaders of the people. It further points out that they were a large group of varying and pantheistic idealistic sects, which borrowed the terminology of religion and some of the tenets, but changed the meaning. Ultimately, it is based on one thing. It is based on the fact that matter is viewed as a deterioration of the spirit and the universe, a deprivation of the deity. And it taught this, and it taught that the ultimate end of all being to be the overcoming of the grossness of matter and return to the parent spirit, which return they held to be inaugurated and facilitated by the appearance of some God-sent Savior. And so it was a very oppressive form of heresy. And indeed, what is its primary tenet? Its primary tenet is that it is anti-incarnational. And so St. Luke would go and seek to find from the very beginning and ultimately, as many of the doctors and fathers point out, who was his source for this doctrine. His source would be none other than the Blessed Virgin Mary, who teaches us all of the truth and the validity of the Incarnation. Indeed, St. Luke, further in the Gospel, as the second portion relates to us, would take pains to point out that he returned to Galilee and lived with his mother and his father, that he returned to Nazareth and grew up according to the customs, that is, as an obedient child, serving his parents, doing the things that children do for their parents. And so St. Luke emphasizes the very primacy of the Incarnation in order that we may all come to know that it is not Gnosticism and its present forms, but it is truth as revealed to us by Jesus Christ. That is why in today's Gospel we further learn of the Lord telling us that he is the source of all truth. And when he sat down to give commentary on this Scripture, as was wont to do by the teachers of the synagogue, all eyes were on him, and he would declare, "Today, this Scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And it was at that very moment that they would set themselves against him, because at that very moment they knew he was not simply declaring himself to be the Messiah, but he was also declaring himself to be God, and hence the source of all true knowledge, the source of all truth, and ultimately, that most important of things, that he is the source of love. And so we see that in this very definition of the church on modernism, we see it is in somewhat defective, and that is because of the nebulous nature of Gnosticism. It is a thing that is tough to get a grasp on, but we see very clearly that in our own society, in our own culture, there are many things that influence us because they are rooted in this. Amongst the primary means by which this form of heresy is being perpetrated on souls are particularly the book known as The Secret and the movie The Matrix. In all forms of them, they are merely forms of Gnosticism. And indeed, in her book, in an author writing a book on the Aquarian conspiracy, points out very clearly the elitist nature. But this book is not, as it were, critiquing it. It is glorifying this, what is known as the New Age movement. And indeed, we are informed in this book that the members of the Black Lodge, i.e., those who follow Christ and Christianity, will be given a time in order to come into this new knowledge. But if they do not cooperate, she declares that we must help them along the journey by making them disembodied spirits. That is a nice way of saying they aim to destroy us because we do not cooperate. Indeed, we see that Gnosticism is behind much that would go about suppressing some forms of media. We are told that one form of truth has been given time, and now it is time to make up for the deficit. And so we must not allow those who hold to traditional values to have sway over the airwaves, because this new truth must be given a time. But indeed, there are no new truths. There is only one truth. It is always ancient, and it is always new. And it is the truth that we all come from the Supreme Being. That is, we all find our origin in God, and it is to God that we must return. And so, we see very clearly that Christianity holds quite contrary to this doctrine of Gnosticism. For Christianity states that the soul attains its proper end by obedience of the mind and the will to the supreme God by faith and good works. And so, if we were to give a popular definition of Gnosticism, it would be called the lazy man's religion, because it does not seek the infinite love and knowledge of God, but the finite ramblings of men and of demons. It tries, as it were, to justify itself by ultimately rejecting all that God has revealed and replacing it with ultimately the doctrines of finite beings, that is, of men and of demons. And indeed, when St. Luke mentions Herod in his gospel, he does so to point out that in its etymology, Herod means the fiery dragon, and ultimately, Herod was anti-incarnational. For Herod would not only seek the slaughter of the holy innocents, he would also murder his own wife, his own sons. He would strive, as it were, to take down anyone whom he perceived to be a rival. And so his mind was filled with this nebulous false doctrine, because ultimately he thought that he was the Messiah and he was the way of salvation. And so we must submit in humility to what has been revealed. We are fallen, and we are like a ship without a rudder, and we would remain so if it were not for the incarnation. And so St. Luke tells us very clearly, when he mentions historical personages, the absolute historical reality of Christ coming into this world and thereby reclaiming man for the kingdom of God. The mention of Theophilus is not, as it were, a literary device, for many infected by modernism will say that it is simply a name that he made up in order to illustrate the point. But Theophilus was a true person. Indeed, he was most likely the governor of Antioch. Why is this significant? Because Theophilus was a friend of St. Peter, who established his first see in Antioch and entrusted Theophilus with the catechumenate. And so, when St. Luke praises this man and writes to Theophilus, he is saying to him, it is a form of thanks, because Theophilus was the one who taught St. Luke his catechism according to the doctors and fathers of the church. And we know that the doctors and fathers of the church are much wiser than those of this earth. And so St. Luke tells us absolutely of the historical reality that Christ came into the world with a precise doctrine, and it is this doctrine that frees mankind from the tyranny of Gnosticism and ultimately from the tyranny of Satan. And so we have much to rejoice for, but we have much to repent for often we have been infected by this modern form of error by participating in all those things. Indeed, most of the self-help books, most of all of that stuff is based on Gnosticism, which ultimately is saying that the power comes from ourselves, that we are all powerful, we are all knowing, and that we are all present. And so we have very clearly that ancient inveterate error of mankind. We always, without grace, fall. We devolve into pantheism, and ultimately, we are like ships cast upon the sea without a rudder. Christ is the rudder because he is the head of the bark of Peter, and Christ in Christ alone knows what he is about and knows where he is going. And so, all those who humbly submit to that mystical body of Christ, accepting Peter as the spiritual leader entrusted with the truth by the Lord himself, and turn constantly to St. Peter to find those saving doctrines, those saving truths, they are the ones who are truly humble. It is not by way of trying to compromise with the errors of modern mankind, but it is not compromising the truths of Jesus Christ. And any time we hold out that some form of anti-incarnational doctrine, whether it comes to us through books or through movies, if we compromise and praise it, as is often done, because it was a technically brilliant movie and I only watch it for entertainment, then we will be infected by the philosophy. For mankind was created to seek truth, and ultimately he knows that that truth is found outside of himself, and so he will either seek that truth from Christ or from false Christ who try to set themselves up as messiahs, as is rampant in today's age. For many, as the author of the book The Secret, the directors of The Matrix, and all other forms of Gnostic entertainment are basically telling mankind that you must turn to me for the knowledge that will free you. But we know different. And so let us always turn to Christ. Let us always remember that St. Luke, under the authority of the first vicar of Christ, approached St. Peter and asked him permission to seek from the beginning all these things. And so he was sent to the Mother of God in order to learn of these things. And that is why he can tell us of those most delicate expressions that Our Lady kept all these things in her heart. That is why he can tell us about the night of the Annunciation, because he received true knowledge from the Mother of God herself. And so he was truly a good child of Mary. And so let us strive always to be good children of Mary, seeking from her feet all that those saving doctrines that Christ came to give us, in order that we may abide in his love in this life, in order to attain eternal love with him in heaven in the life to come.